I have to share, there's too many papers in front of me right now. It's not often I do a dual role. So together today, we will explore defining one's purpose. However, one's purpose is not always synonymous with vocation. Yet typically, it is what we always ask of someone we meet for the first time. How many of you done that? Raise your hand. For some, this may be a difficult question to answer. Perhaps it is the person in transition between jobs, a retiree redefining themselves as they embark upon a new journey of self-discovery, or a single parent who is struggling to make ends meet doing what they can to provide for their family by working two jobs. On the other hand, you may be painfully shy, less confident, and thinking to yourself, why is this person asking me what I do? Are they going to share something of more value? What do you do? Is an outward-facing or rather closed question. It is conducive to a one-word answer. Now imagine the shift in the conversation by asking the open question, what is your purpose? Is this a door we could open, leading us into something more genuine? A few years earlier, at a faculty meeting, the principal of my school asked each of us, what is your purpose? We are all teachers, yet he asked us to define in one sentence how that translated to each of us individually, and then to share out. I would like to ask the same of each of you later this morning. I think for so many of us in that defining moment was to search within ourselves on a deeper level and elaborate further. If I were to ask you, what is your purpose? How many of you feel right now you could answer that question? Raise your hand. For me, as I sat in that moment of quiet contemplation, I realized I had never been asked that question. Is it not a teacher's purpose to inspire? Having taught both art and special education over a period of 3 decades, my purpose has always been to ignite the sparks of learning and creativity in both young and old alike. Although I had always known this to be true to my inner core, I had never defined it as such. Now imagine, if you will, when asking the question, what do you do, we align that with our purpose. For example, a person whose passion is gardening replies, I ensure the intricate balance of the interweb of life. An artist, I express what words cannot. A musician, I elevate the feelings of my listeners. A mechanic, I provide my clients with the best possible ride in vehicles that are safe for the environment, themselves, and their loved ones. A hospice worker, I bring peace and comfort to my clients and their loved ones. A hairdresser, I make people feel good by looking good. A response to any of these purpose statements would most undoubtedly be, tell me more, or how do you accomplish that? Would you agree? If so, raise your hand. I would like to invite you now to journey inward as we explore and answer this very question. What is your purpose? Let us begin by sitting in a relaxed position, back straight, feet on the floor. Close your eyes if you wish, and become present in the moment. For this part of my service, I will be using our charm to help pace ourselves. Slowly inhale through your nose to the count of 3. Now gently exhale through your mouth counting to six. Again, slowly inhaling, gently exhaling to the count of six. Again, slowly inhaling, counting to three. Gently exhaling through the mouth slowly to the count of six. When you are ready, you may open your eyes. How are we doing so far? Good. So let us answer and think about the following questions. Number one, what motivates you upon waking in the morning? What propels you throughout the day? What do you love to do? Who do you do it for? What do these people want and need? The last question. How are they changed or transformed as a result? The answer to these questions is what defines you. This is your purpose. How did we do? Please write one sentence now that begins with, "My purpose is." You will find paper and pencils available for your use. How many still need another minute? How many of you now have defined your purpose? Would you show me your hands? I would enjoy hearing from you during our congregational share towards the end of our service, so please do so. To conclude, the sense of purpose is what keeps us feeling engaged in life. It is what gives our lives meaning and happiness. As human beings, our lives are in a constant state of flux. Life's circumstances can and will change us. However, we continue to learn, to grow, and in so doing, we redefine ourselves and our purpose throughout our lives. You may find, as do I, that our purpose is often multifaceted. Today, as a single grandparent raising my grandson, I will share that my compass has been set to what I refer to as true north over these last 9 years. Unforeseen events had altered my life in a profound way, giving me a new purpose. It is the one I set above all the others. Perhaps you too have experienced a major shift in your life and are now caring for an aging parent. When the long day is done, after turning out the lights, I always take personal inventory by asking myself, have I been kind in my words? Have I been generous in my actions? Have I made a small difference to someone, somewhere, somehow? In the words of Johann Gottfried Herder, to think what is true, to sense what is beautiful, and to want what is good, hereby the spirit finds purpose of a life in reason. I thank you. And now I have the pleasure of turning over the floor to our next speaker, Mir Parker O'Toole.
Make any difference?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. How's that?
Good.
Okay, cool. As you can see, it's very confused because it's all over the place. It's not a straight path. And it's not a continual path. You know, finding one's purpose, it sounds like a, you know, we can just do this thing, but it's continually changing as our lives change. And our lives are affected, we're all getting older, so aging comes into it. There are health problems that come up. You might lose your job or your house. These are all things that are very traumatic, and they tend to draw you in. You know, you're focused on self. And one of the things about purpose is it's a tool that can take you out of yourself. You can expand, and as soon as you expand, it gets better. It does. But it's continually evolving. It can be very small. I've got these numbered. I had a computer failure this morning, so I couldn't organize them properly, but that may be okay. And if things occur to you as I'm speaking, please don't hesitate to jump in. My topic was purpose and long life. And one of the things I discovered when I started researching it is all of the wonderful research they've been doing lately that they've done it with people over 60, but they're starting to expand into other groups, and they've discovered that if you have purpose in your life, you will live longer. By about, you know, one-fifth longer than your peers who may not have purpose. You know, they may be depressed, they may have not figured it out, but so purpose is an incredible tool to keep you alive. And, you know, as part of that, I see, you know, if you could help other people find their purpose, you're keeping them alive, too. In Japan, it's called ikigai, which is something to live for, the joy and goal of living. So they're doing research there, too. There's a researcher at Harvard named Ellen Langer. She's called the mother of mindfulness. You may have seen her book, Mindfulness. and she's also a wonderful speaker, but she does these very simple research projects with people. So she went into a nursing home and she brought plants. And to half of the residents, she gave plants that the staff would take care of, but they'd be in their room. They'd have the plants there, but you know they weren't responsible for them. The other half, she made them responsible for the plants. And the group that was responsible for the plants way outlived the other group. So there's, you know, there's this intangible piece that's, you know, it's something that we can all be, you know, do and be. There's also human tendency is we all have a shared sense of not belonging, because belonging is part of this. There's purpose, there's belonging, and because we all kind of feel like, well, you know, maybe I'm not welcome, or maybe, you know, I'm not good enough. There's a lot of value connected with things. So helping people and helping yourself to, you know, find a sense of belonging is kind of critical. I work in a library, and I work with a lot of young librarians who are frantic to figure out, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, here I've got this degree, what kind of librarian should I be? And I basically tell them it doesn't matter, just go be, because libraries are like secular churches. We do the same stuff. People come in, they have needs, sometimes they're quite desperate, and we do our best to help them get to the next place, you know, something that works for them. And I also, I'm a makerspace librarian, so I run a makerspace, which is a space for the community. At least this is how I spin it, because no one's told me how to do it. I'm making this up as I go along. I spin it as a sanctuary. It's a place to come and be welcome, first of all. Whether they know how to make anything or not doesn't really matter. People come in the door, and a coworker observed yesterday that she was minding the store for me for a while, and she said, yeah, they come in and they freeze just inside the door and look around like this deer in the headlights look, because suddenly they're confronted with, you know, the possibility of being creative, which is a whole other talk, and making things. And what we strive to do where I work is make them feel welcome and give them a sense of belonging. And in the course of it, they can develop a sense of purpose, because making things is another human piece that we need. So in the course of thinking about the space that I have, and spaces that you may have access to also, I have a lot of people who want to volunteer. Some of the volunteers who come in they're broken. They may have, I have one woman who's desperate to be making art. She's terrified, she's bipolar, she's got health problems. And, you know, in an average situation where someone comes to volunteer, you know, probably they might say, well, we don't really have anything for you to do right now, you know. They'd say it kindly, but they probably wouldn't accept her as a volunteer. I welcome volunteers who come in with those needs, because even if she just sits and watches the place, you know, she's actually starting to venture forth and get courage. So part of helping people get to their, you know, place of purpose is giving them the courage to try. You know, you can't fail. You know, showing up is 90% of the battle. And I was thinking about my purpose too, because I've been thinking about what's my purpose since I was an early adolescent. And mine's kind of weird, because maybe not so weird now, sadly. At the time I thought, okay, you've got the screw loose. Because I worried about, what I felt strongly was that my purpose in life was to teach people how to survive the end of the world, and how to have the skills that they, you know, might need someday to make, to build, to do whatever they needed to do. So I spent a good part of my life learning how to do things so I could teach other people. And always thought, oh, this is crazy talk. You know, this is like, you're a little nuts, but keep going. And then the last few years have happened, and suddenly it's not crazy anymore. It's terrifying. And, you know, so that part of my purpose, which I've carried through my whole life, and have actually met other people who think that, may be real. And hopefully not. You know, I hope for the best. But so I think about that. And in the course of that, I started thinking about, you know, how old do you have to be to have purpose? I mean, I had it very early on, but thinking about teenagers and preteens, they haven't had enough time on Earth to develop, you know, a full palette of possibilities. They're flailing. As a teenager, that's what you're doing. You're trying things out and you're flailing. We also have an epidemic of suicide in the country among teens. And so what my thought process there has been, how can we help these kids develop purpose or develop a path to purpose so that they don't have to feel like they kill themselves? You know, what can we do? What can we offer them? What kind of sanctuary can we make for them that they come in and feel welcomed and encouraged to explore? So this is my call to you. Think about this. And, you know, the other part is, are you in places or, workplaces where you might have opportunities to offer people a sanctuary to find their place? In libraries, it's sort of an easy bet, but, you know, you can do it in many different ways. And I guess my last call to action is very tiny, because this sounds like huge, great, world-changing stuff. You know, finding purpose, you're going to change the world. I actually got seduced away from a job into another job because I couldn't change the world where I was, so you have to come and work for me. That didn't work either, but we're working on that. Yeah, little tiny. One of the things I've discovered lately, and I've been doing it, and it's kind of wonderful, is smiling at people. Just smiling at people. People are so desperate for any kind of connection, but, and especially people who look stressed. They look like they need it. If you smile at them, it'll blow their minds, and it'll make their day. They may carry that through the whole day. You know, you may change their life that way, just smiling at them. So that's my other charge, is go forth and smile. You know, it sounds crazy, but I think it's huge, because it's another missing piece.